Welcome to another episode of In Moments Like These with David Graham. David is a speaker, author, businessman, former pastor, and founding director of Youth of a Mission Montana. We believe that God is at work, constantly tugging at our hearts, working in and through relationship around us. Join us as we dive into a new devotional, as David shares a lifetime of personal moments and hopes to inspire you to see God the Father at work in your own moments. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of In Moments Like These.
I've read the last page of the Bible, and it's all going to turn out all right. Reverend Billy Graham. For the first time in an episode, I'm going to use the words, there's good news and there's bad news, and the bad news first. There's not a day that goes by that we don't hear news about a conflict somewhere, or many conflicts for that matter. The mass news media has seen to that. Unrest or all-out conflict has shown its head recently in Yemen, Ethiopia, Libya, Afghanistan, Syria, Haiti, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Sudan, the Central African Republic, as well as in lesser-known countries such as Myanmar, the Sahel, Nagorno-Karabakh, Boko Haram, Burkina Faso, and Papua. There is unrest between the United States and China, and there is deadly warfare taking place between Russia and Ukraine, Israel and Hamas, and now Israel and Iran. We live in a time of many wars and rumors of wars. And then there's those ongoing and ever-increasing conflicts within nations that eat away at their viability. Uncontrollable homelessness, serious economic instability, rising crime, political strife, and steep moral decline, just to name a few. And to make matters worse, one of the more obvious byproducts of the conflicts is an overall atmosphere of fear. How did we get here? What's the source of all this? I addressed this issue in two of my earliest episodes, one entitled The Mirroring Eyes, and the other, What on Earth's the Matter? I feel very strongly that I'm supposed to address this issue again today. Adam and Eve, the very first of God's children, originally lived with total peace. They never feared anything. Why? Because they shared in what I and others call ultimate mutuality, meaning they each experienced the most ultimate sense of identity and well-being, including ultimate peace, within an interpersonal and dependent and perfect relationship with their Heavenly Father. That all ended when they tragically shifted their dependence away from that perfect mutuality to a dark and evil one. They traded in the perfect for the terrible, the loving for the hostile, and as a result, for the very first time, they experienced shame and fear. The Apostle Paul speaks of the consequences of this shift in mutuality in his New Testament letter to the Christians at Ephesus, when he says, "You once followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." Ephesians 2, 2 and 3. All mankind had fallen into the snare of a hostile force of evil, into the clutching arms of fear. The Apostle John agrees with Paul when he writes, "The whole world is under the control of the evil one." 1 John 5:19. And again, as a result, the whole world is victimized by fear. But I've got good news. I said I would, and here it is. Jesus was, Jesus is, and Jesus always will be the Prince of Peace. And for each and every one of his followers, the new sons and daughters of his Father, Jesus is the provider of peace. We hear that message, that truth, prophesied of him more than 700 years before he was born on earth. Isaiah 9, verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Everlasting Father. He will be called the Prince of Peace. On the very night that Jesus was born on earth, that scripture, that prophecy was fulfilled. When the phenomenal gift of peace was promised to everyone who would put their faith in him and follow after him. You remember the Christmas story? Let's take a quick listen to that well-known angelic proclamation that was given on that Christmas night from Luke chapter 2, picking up at verse 6. And while Joseph and Mary were there in Bethlehem, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in snuggly strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That same night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news of great joy. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the promised Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Wow, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they did. But did you hear that? That proclamation from the armies of angels who were under assignment to say one phrase in unison, in one voice? "Glory to God in highest heaven." And hear this, because it's often lost. "And peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Did that connect with you? This was a major proclamation. That wasn't proclaimed by one angel. It was proclaimed by countless numbers, regiments of angels, and all of them shouting the same words at the same time. "Glory to God in highest heaven." And now a third time, "And peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." To all those who would put their faith in him. That was the proclamation. And that was God's promise to his children. The promise of peace provided by the Prince of Peace. Dear friend, I felt I was to close today by reading several short scripture verses that have served as a reminder to me over the years of his promise of peace. I urge you to make a choice to receive and trust these words with your spirit, your choice maker, your mind, and then listen for the joy and the peace that echoes in your soul. Just as Isaiah says in his chapter 26, verse 3, "You, O Lord, will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is fixed on you, because he trusts in you." And now, from the New Testament, be prepared. I'm going to purposely repeat this peace message, just to drive the point home, or as I've often said, to drive the stake deeper. Acts 10:36. "This is the message God sent to his people Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." Romans 5:1. "Because we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God." Romans 8:6. "Letting the Holy Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace." Romans 15:33. "The peace of God be with you all." Romans 6:20. "The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet." 2 Corinthians 13:11. "The God of love and peace be with you all." Ephesians 2:14. "For Jesus himself is our peace, Ephesians 2:17, He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. Ephesians 6:15, Have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Philippians 4:7, And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:9, And the peace of God be with you. Colossians 3:15, Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let it rule. Let it rule. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, May the peace of God sanctify you through and through. And 2 Thessalonians 3:16, Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. And my favorite of all, from the mouth of Jesus himself, during the Lord's Supper on the night before he was crucified, John 14:27, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. And then these words came from him just minutes later. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. John 16:33. Dear friend, keep trusting in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Like the armies of angels did, voice your praise to him loudly so your soul can hear it. And remind your soul every day of what Jesus has told us. And that's to not be afraid, but to be of good cheer, to be happy, to be at peace. Because the Prince of Peace has already won. He's overcome the world. And the rest of the story is completely in his powerful hands. Dear Lord Jesus, we do join in with the angel armies by praising and glorifying you right now. Thank you. Thank you for all that you were willing to do and all that you did. You became a vulnerable child for the sake of all of us vulnerable children. You did it all to restore our identity and our well-being as our Father's blessed children once again. And right now I ask you to do a new and deep work in this dear one of yours and in me today. Empower us with peace, everlasting peace, like we've never experienced before. Oh, let it be, O Prince of Peace, let it be.
Welcome to another episode of In Moments Like These with David Graham. David is a speaker, author, businessman, former pastor, and founding director of Youth of a Mission, Montana. We believe that God is at work, constantly tugging at our hearts, working in and through relationship around us. Join us as we dive into a new devotional, as David shares a lifetime of personal moments and hopes to inspire you to see God the Father at work in your own moments. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of In Moments Like These.